Greetings, everyone. We want to give you a huge welcome today to Revival Radio. We're an outreach of Revival Christian Fellowship located here in Southern California. And today, Pastor John Miller begins a new series called Blessed Assurance. All of God's redemptive plans and purposes come together in the 8th chapter of Romans. It's Paul's summary of how God saves sinners. Here, Scripture proclaims, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The death of Christ on the cross saved us from the ultimate penalty for our sins, eternal separation from God. Belief in Jesus Christ eliminates all condemnation because He imputes His righteousness to us. We are in Christ, declared righteous by God the Father. Let's join Pastor John Miller right now in Romans chapter 8 with the message, No Condemnation.
I'm going to read verses 1 to 4. I want you to follow with me, and then we're going to come back and look at verse 1. Paul says in Romans 8, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 is indeed one of the greatest and most loved chapters in the entire Bible. Many great Bible scholars call Romans 8 the greatest chapter in the Bible. Someone once described that if the Bible were a ring, Romans 8 would be the diamond setting right in the center of that ring. It's the sparkling jewel of our preservation in Christ. We all know some of the great verses from Romans 8. How about Romans 8, 28? We know all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. How about Romans 8, 1? There's now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How about Romans 8, verse 39? That nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So we love this chapter, and we're going to soak in it for the next many weeks and learn how we are safe in the arms of Jesus. It opens in verse 1 with no condemnation in Christ, and it ends verse 39 with no separation from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I believe that an understanding of the truths found in Romans 8 will transform your Christian life. Let me repeat that. I believe that an understanding and application of the truths found in Romans 8 will transform your Christian life. God's Spirit working through God's Word and these important truths, it will be a revolutionary change in your life to know that you are safe in the arms of Jesus and that the Spirit has come to control your life, and then you can fulfill the demands of the law. So our focus in these series will be on the believer's blessed assurance in Christ. Now, I need to introduce this text in light of the book of Romans, so bear with me for just a moment. I want you to notice that in Christ we have new assurance of victory, verses 1 to 13 of Romans 8. We have a new assurance of sonship, verse 14 to 17. We have a new assurance of hope, verse 18 to 25 of Romans 8. We have a new assurance of help. The Holy Spirit helps our infirmities, even interceding for us in prayer. And then fifthly and lastly, verse 31 to 39 of Romans 8, we have a new assurance of security. We are kept by the power of God until the day of redemption. There's no condemnation, there's no separation, and in between, there's no defeat. So blessed assurance is for all those who are in Christ. Someone describes Romans 8 as God is for you, Christ is around you, and the Spirit is in you. I love that. God is for you, Christ is around you, and the Spirit is in you. If God be for us, Paul cries, who can be against us? Now, today I want to look at our first of the blessed assurances. It's found in verse 1 with no condemnation. Notice that in verse 1, there's now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, you may have noticed, I'm reading, quite often people ask me, what translation do you read from? I'm reading from the King James version, not New King James, but King James. It's called the Authorized Version. In my Bible, it continues in verse 1 to say, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I didn't read that intentionally. Why? Because in the older manuscripts, it is omitted in verse 1. But it is included in verse 4, where it fits more rightfully, at the end of verse 4, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I don't believe that it belongs in verse 1. You say, well, what is it doing there? It's an interpolation. It was actually put in there by a scribe accidentally, and we know from the manuscripts that this is the case. Now, you can trust your Bible because we have a multitude of manuscript evidence to determine what verses go where. So it's not a question. So we know that it is in verse 4. It's questionable in verse 1. If it is in verse 1, I believe it almost contradicts what's being said there, that in Christ there's no condemnation. There's no condition for no condemnation other than being in Christ. It's not saying that God won't condemn you as long as you're walking in the Spirit. It's saying God will not condemn you because you are in Christ. That's very important to understand. If you are in Christ, there's no condemnation. So I think verse 1 would read like this. There's now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, period. Now let's unpack this first verse by looking at four important words or phrases. Again, I'm slowing down to a snail's pace this morning. I don't normally just preach from one verse, but I want to take four words or phrases and kind of explain what they mean from verse 1. The first is the word therefore. There is therefore now no condemnation. The word therefore. It indicates that Paul is summing up what has gone before. Now the question is, how far back is the therefore, therefore? Whenever you have a therefore, ask what it's there for. And it's therefore because from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 7, Paul has been describing man's condemnation, his salvation, and his sanctification. Now in chapter 8, he moves into his preservation. In chapter 1:18 through 3:20, mankind is under the wrath of God and under condemnation. Look at chapter 3 just real quickly. Chapter 3, verse 19. All the world may become guilty before God. That's the end of that first section. All the world becomes guilty before God. Every mouth is stopped. So we see that religious man, the Jewish man, the heathen man, everyone in the world is condemned and guilty before God. But then we find that Paul moves into the section called salvation, and that is how God saves sinners. And the answer is in Christ Jesus. In chapter 3, verse 21, all the way through chapter 5, he's been talking about how God justifies the condemned. Justification is the opposite of condemnation. So we're first condemned, now we're justified or declared righteous. Then in chapter 6 and 7, I'm moving up to chapter 8, we see the believer's sanctification. Then in chapter 8, we have now the believer's preservation. So we haven't studied all of Romans. We're jumping in the midst of it in chapter 8. So we move from condemnation, justification, sanctification, to preservation, kept safe in Jesus Christ. Romans 8 is the summit of the mountain peak of Scripture. The book of Romans is Paul's theological last will and testament. He takes everything he knows about how God saves sinners, about the gospel, and he puts it into this marvelous book. So God saves us in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we are justified, we are sanctified, and we are glorified. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully for just a couple of minutes. I've shared this before, but salvation has three tenses: past, present, and future. We have been saved. We're justified. We've been declared righteous. This is our position in Christ. The present tense of salvation is I'm being saved. This is sanctification. It's a process. So I've been justified. The word is position. My standing is complete in Christ. I'm being, present tense, sanctified. This is a process. Justification is not a process. It's complete the moment you are born again. Your standing will never change. You are righteous in Christ. But it starts a lifelong process of being sanctified or changed to be more like Jesus Christ. Then the third phase, this is the real good one we're looking for, glorification. That's when we go to heaven and we're with Jesus and we get, praise God, a new body. Do I hear the old people say amen? Thank you, Jesus. Some of you young people, I like my bod. You wait until you get old. You're ready to move out. So we've been justified. We're being, present tense, sanctified. One day, we will be glorified. It is my conviction. Pray for me. I get ahead of myself in this kind of stuff. It's my conviction that when a person is justified, glorification is a sure thing. What begins with grace ends in glory. Those who have been justified will be glorified. So don't fret, don't freak, don't worry. Am I going to make it to heaven? Am I just going to get in by the skin of my teeth? You have been declared righteous in Christ. You're being made righteous in Christ. And one day you will be glorified in Christ. Donald Gray Barnhouse said, "It is my measured opinion that confusing sanctification with justification is the cause of more false doctrine than any other error that has ever been committed by religious thinkers." I agree. One of the problems so many Christians have is they get saved, and then because they're not perfect, because they falter, because they fall, because sometimes they stumble, they think, well, I've lost my salvation, or God's kicked me out of the family, or I'm not going to go to heaven, or I got to work harder to try to stay saved, and you know, God's mad at me, or God's angry at me, and they fail to understand that they are positionally righteous before God, and that's a settled fact. Practically, no. All Christians have justification. There's no degree of being justified. But there is degrees of sanctification. Some of you are living a more holy, godly life. By the way, the word saint, sanctified, and holy all come from the same root word. It means to be set apart and made holy. So some Christians live a more sanctified life. They've grown in their walk with the Lord. They're living more Christ-like. They're more Spirit-filled. They're more like Jesus. And then other Christians, some of them, you know, have a long way to go. Amen? Maybe you've been Christian for a long time, but you have a long way to go. Now, that sanctification is a process that will never end until we get to heaven. That's why it's positional, it's practical, and then it's perfect. Justification is position. Sanctification is practice. Glorification is perfection. When I see Jesus and I get a new body and I'm in his presence and I am glorified. So Romans 8 is Paul's summary of how God saves sinners. And believe it or not, what I just shared with you is foundational for understanding not only all of Romans 8, but understanding this first verse of what it means to be in Christ with no condemnation. It's a summary of how God saves sinners in verse 1. Actually, verse 1 of Romans 8 is actually a summary of the whole 8th chapter of the whole book of Romans and of the whole Bible. And it really summarizes how God saves sinners. And the answer is in Christ Jesus. Now, when does the blessing of salvation come to us? Here's my second word in verse 1, and that is the word now. It's a time word. And it points to the change that comes into the life of the person who is justified in Christ. You go, Pastor John, you're going to preach on therefore and now? Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Now, or therefore now, there is no condemnation. So when is there no condemnation? Right now. So it's a time word. The change that has come into the life of the person who has been justified is the moment they are saved, there is no condemnation. Now we are justified. When does that happen? The moment you believe and trust in Jesus Christ and are born again. Write down 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Old things pass away, all things become what? New." So you were under condemnation, but now you are saved in Christ. old things pass away, all things become brand new. So it's a believer's present possession. So it means right now and never will there be any condemnation. Here's the third word or phrase, it's two words in verse one that I want to look at. It's no condemnation. So he starts with therefore, and then now, and then no condemnation. Now, the word no in the Greek is emphatic. We don't get that in the English. We say no, we just mean no. We have to kind of yell and scream and pound something to make sure that people know that for emphasis. But in the Greek, they had a different word for no. There were actually a couple different words for no. And this word for no is an emphatic no. It means no way, Jose. If you were to translate the Greek word Jose, oh no, it means no way, Jose. Never ain't going to happen. Actually, in the Greek, it would actually start with no condemnation, therefore, to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the way it would be transliterated into the Bible. No, for emphasis. In the Greek, the first word of a sentence is always the emphatic. It's the emphasis. No condemnation, therefore, to those who are in Christ. So he takes the wicked, sinful, lost, condemned human race, and those who are born again are placed in Christ, and now there is no condemnation. Not now, not ever, not in the future. There will never be condemnation. That's a glorious, glorious, glorious truth. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, when Paul was talking about the blessings and the benefits of being saved or justified, he said, "We have been justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So we have no condemnation because we're justified, and now we have peace with God because we've been forgiven in Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to note what it says, no condemnation. It doesn't say no sins. It doesn't say no mistakes. It doesn't say there's now therefore no stumbling of those who are in Christ. Why? Because we do stumble, right? Now don't raise your hand. But as Christians, we still sin. And if you don't sin, then you're a liar. You say you don't sin, you're a liar, the Bible says. The truth's not in you because we do sin. Jesus said, if you have anger towards someone in your heart, you've murdered them. Some of you murdered somebody on the way to church this morning. That idiot! It's like the little boy said, "Mommy, why is it when dad drives, all the idiots come out?" There are never any idiots when mom's driving, just when dad drives. So we've all stumbled, we've all sinned, but that isn't what the verse says. It doesn't say there's now therefore no sins to those who are in Christ. That's your practice. That's progressional. And there's days when we're walking in the Spirit and we're more sanctified, and then we have weeks when we're not very sanctified. But don't forget, your position never changes. You have the righteousness of Christ, and you need to understand the two and the distinction. So it doesn't say no sins, doesn't say no mistakes. Christians do sin. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. He murdered her husband Uriah to cover his sins. Peter pulled his sword in the Garden of Gethsemane and tried to take off a servant's head. Abraham sinned. Moses sinned. Even some of God's greatest saints have stumbled and fallen. What does no condemnation mean? It means that God has acquitted believers of guilt and has lifted the judicial sentence under which they were formerly guilty. So God has acquitted us and lifted the sentence. The condemnation involves two things. It involves this, that you're guilty, and then it involves the judgment. You know, when we in our criminal court systems, you are found guilty, then you enter into the part of the trial where are you going to go to prison? If you're going to go, how long? So the punishment phase. So you're found guilty, but what will the punishment mean? So the condemnation is both. We are found guilty, and it is the punishment. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So we are under condemnation as we are in Adam But then as we are born again, we're taken out of Adam and we're placed in Christ, and now there is no condemnation. God is not, God will not ever condemn you. God is not angry with you, and God will not kick you out of his family if you stumble and you fall. Now, Satan will try to condemn you. He's the accuser of the brethren. People will try to condemn you. They'll point their finger and they'll put you down. Your own heart will try to condemn you, but God will never condemn you. Look at Romans 8:31 for just a moment. It says, if God is for us, notice that, God before us, who can be against us? Isn't that a great question? If God is for us, and he is, then who can be against us? Look at verse 34 of Romans 8. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now, we're going to be going through this whole chapter, so we'll get to those verses. But God is for us, who can be against us? He's not the one condemning you. He's not the one going to kick you out of his family. He doesn't hate you. Now, God may chasten you for your sin to bring you back into a line and to help you grow in sanctification, but he's not going to kick you out of his family or judge you or condemn you. That was dealt with at the cross. Now, there's one last phrase, and it's the most important in the verse that we need to understand. Therefore, now, no condemnation to them which are, and here's the phrase, in Christ Jesus. I wish there was some way for me to communicate accurately the importance of this concept. I believe that it's the greatest concept taught in the Bible for the believer to grasp, to fathom, and to understand. Paul used it as his favorite statement over 100 times, some say about 165 times in Paul's epistles. He used the phrase in Christ Jesus, or in Christ Jesus our Lord. Read Ephesians chapter 1. All the blessings from God come to us because we are in Christ Jesus. All the heavenly blessings of the Spirit come to us because we are in Christ Jesus. So you need to understand what it means to be in Christ or in Christ Jesus. The only condition for no condemnation is being in Christ Jesus. Now, there are only two classes of humanity. And again, I want you to pay attention. There are those who are in Christ, where there's no condemnation. And then there are those who are in Adam, who are condemned and under the wrath of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 to 21 makes this very, very clear. The Bible teaches that all of humanity can be put into two groups. Here are the two groups. One group are those who are in Adam the first. Remember when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden and Adam sinned? And sin and death came upon Adam and Eve. And then it came to the whole human race. So Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed in the garden, they plunged humanity into sin and condemnation. Everything true of Adam is true of us. So everyone born into this world, every human being is born in Adam. This is why you have to be born again of the Spirit to be taken out of Adam, who acts as a federal head and brings condemnation, to be born into Christ and to have salvation.
Today, Pastor John spoke to us about our assurance of salvation. He said that the moment we are saved, there is no condemnation. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but is crossed over from death to life." God has acquitted the believer from the penalty of sin and revoked the sentence. God loves us. God is for us. He's not condemning us. He has forgiven and accepted us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, everyone, we would love to have you join us here at Revival for one of our worship services live sometime and in person. Our Sunday service times are at 8 a.m., 9:45, and 11:30. We also enjoy a special time together at our midweek service on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Now, the church is located on Scott Road, just 1 mile east of the 215 freeway in Menifee, California. And if you can't join us in person, join us online at revival.tv, where we stream all of our services live. Well, everyone, thank you so much for spending your time with us here today. We trust that this program is a blessing in your life, and we hope you'll join us next time. Don't miss a program. Until then, may each of us continue to preach the word, be ready in season, and be watchful in all things, fulfilling the ministry of God's kingdom. God bless.